I'm probably, the front few rows are kind of going, what is he talking about? But the further back you go, some of you remember Men Behaving Badly. It kind of reminds me of the people that played those characters in Men Behaving Badly, who basically did nothing. You may actually watch, we're not going out. Do you watch that programme? Lee Mack, who plays the character in that, is a little bit like the sluggard, who kind of, he doesn't work, he doesn't do anything, he just kind of bumbles through life. Well, the sluggards is a little bit, not pointing fingers at anyone particularly, a little bit like that person. So I want to look at this subject of work versus laziness, or actually hard work versus laziness. There is the sluggard on the one side who is the lazy character, and then the other character that comes up from time to time in Proverbs as a hard-working character is the ant. So I did wonder whether I could play on the ant and the slug today, but then I thought that'd be unfair to slugs because I don't know whether slugs are lazy or not. So that wouldn't be fair on slugs, would it? But the ant is seen as the hard-working ant. I kind of did a little bit of work just to come up with some definitions. Hard work means of a person tending to work with energy and commitment, diligent. And a number of associated words that you may come up with, and there's loads that you could come up with. Some are appearing, I guess, on the nothing's appearing on the screen at the moment. Oh, here we I think Steve's had a bad week, actually, this week, so just encourage Steve. Some words are going to appear up on the screen, but things like thorough, meticulous, reliable, conscientious, industrious, efficient, a person who achieves something. Are you that kind of person? Are you a hard-working person? Or are you a little bit like the sluggard? Are you a lazy person? Laziness is a disinclination to activity or exertion, despite having the ability to do so. Things like slacker, late, idleness, lethargic, can't be bothered. Do you remember the Catherine Tate teenager? Lauren, I think, was her name, who's one of her famous sayings was, bothered, face, bothered, and all that. That kind of teenager, kind of, I can't be bothered. Couch potato, inefficient, slowful would be other words that you may come up with, and a whole load of other things. Do you fall into that category? Actually, I want to suggest that actually most of us at times work very hard. And other times, it is symptomatic, is it not, that we're lazy. There might be certain things that we actually engage with and we're excited about and we do well at, and then there may be other things we just can't be bothered with that situation or circumstance or that thing that we need to do. And Proverbs, in a sense, balances these two things. Hard work and laziness. And it encourages us into the place of hard work, and it discourages us into the place of laziness. And I want to look at these two things. But first, let me make some initial comments. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I mean, sometimes when I'm writing sermons, certain people come to mind, which is always a dangerous thing, hopefully normally in a positive way. But I've got to say, no one came to mind when I was putting this together. Well, actually, one person came to mind, but I won't mention them because I've got to have lunch with him later. However, most of us do fall at times into the category of laziness. And I think there's applications here for us. There's a thin line, though, between laziness and rest. And I wanted to say that up front. There are moments when the right thing to do is to rest. And then there are moments when the right thing to do is to work hard. And it's hard sometimes to discern between those two. And I find there are two types of people. There are people that tend to lean towards resting a lot. And then there are people that tend to, and a lot of people tend to lean to working hard a lot and not resting. And this sermon's not about rest, but I could do another long sermon on rest and the importance of resting and being with the Lord and recuperating. But there is a thin line between the two. Hard work also is not about long hours. So it's not about you sitting there going, oh, do you know what? You know, I'm probably the longest hour working person. It's not about that. It's more about being an effective, efficient, smart person who does well at the things that they're called to do. And nor do I want you to interpret this sermon about paid work. You may apply it to your paid work, and I hope that you do, but I hope you apply it to a whole load of other areas in your life. The way that you are at home, in fact, actually in your paid work, you may be more hardworking because you receive pay. But there may be other areas of your life that you're not particularly hardworking. Maybe at the in the home. Maybe your attitude towards relationships. You don't work hard at that. Maybe your response to different areas or voluntary work or giving yourself into other opportunities. Maybe even you're lazy, let me suggest, and I want you to hold this through your head as we go through this because this one could be forgotten. Maybe you're lazy in your faith. Maybe you're not prepared to work hard at your faith. And actually you're sluggard in faith. I wonder how many of you prepared for worship this morning. I don't think many of us actually prepared well for worship this morning. I had a moment to glance round you to see who was engaged and ready to worship the Lord this morning at the beginning of our service. How many of us worked hard at being in the presence of God today? And that's something I want you to hold, because in a sense, that application is probably the one the most important this morning. How hard are we working at being in relationship with God and loving him and growing in our faith? Yes, there were a number of things that kind of balanced each other. I came up with 7, but I got it down to 5, so you'll be glad to know that. So here's a little table, Steve, of where we're going. So we're going to look at hard work protects, whereas laziness brings poverty. We're going to be looking at how hard work brings power. I'll explain what I mean by that word. And laziness brings slavery. Hard work is a place of wisdom, whereas laziness is deceptive. Hard work brings reward, whereas laziness brings unsatisfaction. And then lastly, we're going to look at how hard work builds, whereas laziness destroys. That's the kind of a sermon outline. There were some handouts, by the way, so if you didn't get one and you can't see the screens or you'd like to take one home, you are welcome. We have 25, so there's plenty out there for you to take away. Let's look at the first one then. Proverbs says this: hard work brings protection against poverty, whereas laziness leads you into poverty. If you if you've got a Bible, go to Proverbs 6. Sue said, is there a reading? I said, well, there's lots of readings, but this is one we could have chosen as a small reading to kind of introduce this topic, if you want. Proverbs 6, verses 6 onwards. Here is the ant and the sluggard. Go to the ant, you sluggard, writes the writer of Proverbs. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Have you ever watched ants? They're fascinating, aren't they? I mean, children often love ants. Tim, when he was younger, he used to call ants his friends. I don't know why, but he was fascinated by ants. When we were in Brazil, where we lived, we had to walk up through this path, and every day we passed this row of ants, and they were there all the time. I reckon if I'd got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and gone and had a look, they would still be working, going to and fro. We stood there for a while, Sue and I, trying to work out what they were doing. Sometimes you watch ants, you kind of do, it's difficult to work out. But apparently they're working as a team, working hard to protect and make sure everything is well with the home. Do they call it home? I don't know what ants call it, but wherever ants live, making sure all things are good. Bringing in food, bringing in materials, working hard. And the Proverbs kind of portrays these two different characters, if you want. The character of the tiny ant who works so hard, and the sluggard who sleeps. And the ant makes sure that he has provision, according to Proverbs, but the sluggard, as he sleeps, that little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, a little feet up on the desk, poverty gradually comes over him and his family. If you want to be a person that is safe and keep your family safe, Proverbs says work hard. Work hard at the things that are before you. And although some people who may work hard may find them in poverty, the generality is that those who work hard will not. They will find safety. In fact, actually, there is great reward in their hard work. Proverbs 10, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Proverbs 14, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 20, here comes the sluggard again. Sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. Do not sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. That doesn't actually mean, you know, don't sleep at all. But it means don't be a person who kind of leans to sleep and can't be bothered to get out of your bed to get on with the day's work. Because if you do, the danger is poverty will come upon you. Of course, in the days of writing this, there was no social services. There was no one to look after you. So the truth is, this was more true in Solomon's time when this was written than perhaps our time when if you can't be bothered to get out of bed, you might actually get social services will come along and help you. But in their case, if you didn't get out of bed, poverty was on your doorstep very quickly. If you didn't sow the seed, if you didn't harvest the harvest, you would have very little. The second two opposites is power and slavery. Proverbs 12 says this, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. Proverbs states that if you work hard, there is the opportunity to have more choice. That's what I mean by power. More choice. The harder you work, the greater the choice that you have. If you're lazy, you have less choice. Generally, those who work harder, says Proverbs, will gain wealth or will have greater wealth. And if you have greater wealth, as we know, because Proverbs has told us before, just a few weeks ago we were looking at this, Proverbs tells us if you have greater wealth, you have, generally, you have greater power. You have greater influence. You have greater opportunity. Yes, you have greater responsibility as well, but you have greater opportunity in life. If you're a person who can't be bothered to get up, to get on, to face the world, to actually work hard, to do well at the things that you're called to do, then the danger is that actually those choices begin to disappear. And you have less choice. In fact, Proverbs says it's even worse than that. You end up in a place of slavery. Actually, you stop and think about it. That is true. For many people who just can't be bothered to work hard, find themselves in a situation where they're captured. They can't get out of it. Whether they're actually forced into labour is a different story, but they certainly feel enslaved by the situation that they find themselves in, and they can't get out of it. Proverbs says, work hard so that you do not fall into such a place. The third one is wisdom against deception. The hard worker thinks carefully about what they do. They do not call themselves wise, but they are seen to be wise. Proverbs 24, verse 27 is an interesting little proverb. It says this, put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Took a little while to kind of get that one round my head, so I'll give you a little while just in case you need as much, you're as slow as I am. But what it's saying is, no point building your house unless you've got food. If you haven't worked the fields, and of course this was an agricultural society, if you haven't worked the fields, you can build the biggest and best house you've got, but if your fields do not produce any food, what good is that? Make sure your fields are ready. Once you have planted the seed, once you know that the seed is growing, that you're going to be safe for the future, then's the time to build your house while the crops are growing. Just kind of see the kind of logic to it. There is wisdom in this Proverbs, Proverbs 24, verse 27. Well, the problem is that we kind of, we don't have our fields, you know. We don't build our homes. But what it's saying is get things in the right order. Be strategic in your thinking. Don't just rush at the things that you want. Stop and think and put them in the right order. And there are seasons. Proverbs talks about this often, about the seasons that are put in place. And make sure you do the right thing at the right season, at the right time. Because when you get everything in the right order, things fall into place. Think strategically. The hard worker thinks strategically. He also thinks about the detail of life. If you've got a Bible, turn to Proverbs 27. There's a lovely little picture in Proverbs 27, 23 to 27. I'll read it to you. It says this, "Be sure that you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed, a new growth appears, and the grass on the hills is gathered in. The lambs will provide you with clothing, and the goats with the price of a field. And you will have plenty of goat's milk to feed your family and to nourish your female servants." So it's a fascinating little kind of a story or a little picture of a wise, hard-working farmer who gives very careful attention to his flock. He looks out for each sheep. He makes sure they're fit and healthy, that everything is put in place. He looks at the detail of his flock. And as he does that, as he pays careful attention, he actually protects his wealth for the future. He knows that as he goes into the future, his healthy lambs will provide him with clothing and his goats will provide him with plenty of milk because they're good and healthy and strong. He thinks strategically, he thinks and cares about the detail. He has careful attention to his herds. These are two areas of hard work that actually sometimes we can kind of neglect. We can just run at things and sometimes we don't stop to think through the finer detail. Now, I'm not a detailed person. I'll be the first to admit that. You know, I'll be in a meeting quite happy to talk about the big picture things. When anyone says, well, let's talk about the finances or the fine detail of how this is going to happen, I'm going, I just got to switch off. But I have learned it's in the fine detail so often that things become effective. And I've learned that it is important for me to have people who are good at fine detail alongside me to understand how to be effective in the things that God has called us to do. Strategic detail. This is the hard worker. The sluggard is the opposite, though. There's another lovely picture in Proverbs 24. The verses are too big to put on the screen. But if you've got a Bible, turn to it. 24 verses 30 to 34. It's someone writing as they pass the field of the sluggard. So we've just had the field of the wise man, the hard worker. You know, his flocks are in good condition and everything is good. Now we have the sluggard's field. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. This farmer is stupid. He is a silly farmer. He does not do what he needs to do at the right time, in the right way. And in the end, his vineyard is in ruins. And he has very little but poverty around him. But he deceives himself. And this is the interesting point from Proverbs in this point. The sluggard, the lazy person, is full of excuses as to why he can't work. Have you found that? You ever found a lazy person and tried to get them to do something? Come on, get up. Go and do this. Go and do that. They've always got an excuse. And do you know what the excuse? Have you heard, I don't know what excuses you've heard. What excuses you might want to just think about? Some of the crazy excuses. Have you ever heard this excuse? Have you ever said to someone, come on, do this? Have you ever heard this excuse? There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. That's what the sluggard says. There's a lion outside and I'll get killed in the public square, so I can't go out. He actually comes up twice in Proverbs. That's a ridiculous excuse. And he deceives himself that there is actually a danger and a reason why he can't get up and get out and get on. Actually, when you stop and listen, think about that excuse, partly it's true, isn't it? And in the fields, working, there is a risk that there may be a lion outside. And there is a slight risk you might get killed. But it's tiny little risk. True, but ridiculous. But also the sluggard convinces himself that he's wise. Proverbs 26, verse 16. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. This is the danger, you see, of being lazy, is you convince yourself that your laziness is the right thing, that it's just, that it's good, that you need to do what you're doing, i.e. nothing. I'm too tired. I've done my share already. Do you remember that saying? We all said it. I can't do it. Do you remember as a child, when your teacher came along and said, what I want you to do is add two and two together and find out what the answer is. And you said, I can't do it. I don't get it. I can't do it. And what did she say? There's no such thing as can't. There is, but there you go. But the sluggard, the lazy person, comes up with that time and time again. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do the other. There's so much that they can't do. Actually, they can't do anything. And that's their response. That's their justification of being lazy. And many of us, when we fall into that lazy category, we do that, don't we? We come up with a justification as to why I can't rather than why I could. It's too much of a risk. We get trapped in our own foolish wisdom and decide that we can't do something. Such is the sluggard. So you've got the wisdom of the wise man and the foolishness or the deceit of the sluggard. Number four is that one is rewarded and one remains unsatisfied. The hard-working are rewarded while the lazy are unsatisfied. Proverbs 14, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. We've had that one already. Proverbs 12, from the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. The lazy, verse 27 of chapter 12, the lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt, i.e. the lazy do not have the choices of the roast, of the game. But the diligent do. They have the rewards of those choices and are able to enjoy them. Proverbs 13, verse 4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desire of the diligent are fully satisfied. Proverbs says that all those that work hard get rewarded. There is a reward. It's not necessarily financial material, although often in Proverbs it kind of suggests that it will be. And if you work hard, the likelihood is that you may receive a good financial material reward. In fact, most, if you read of most millionaires and entrepreneurs who have done well, you find actually they're very hard-working people, particularly those who have made their way from the place of poverty into the place of wealth. And they've done it often, yes. For some, it's been a bit of luck, but for many, it's been just sheer hard work. Now, certainly, I am not suggesting that you give your life to becoming millionaires through hard work. That is not what I'm suggesting at all, and I don't think Proverbs is suggesting that. But it does say that if you work hard, the likelihood is, the probability is, that you will receive some financial reward. and material blessing upon your life. But there are other rewards that are far greater for those that work hard. There is respect. There is honour. There is appreciation. There is those that support you and love you because of your support and love to them. Trust is built up. And so you can go on. People appreciate and value you because of what you do, because they know that you're a reliable, trustworthy, thorough person in the thing that you do. And those rewards are probably more beneficial than any financial or material reward. On the opposite side, though, the sluggard, bless him, receives no such reward. They certainly do not receive any financial, material reward, but they certainly don't get respect. They don't get honour, they don't get appreciated, they're not valued in the same way. In fact, actually, people moan about them and groan about them and say, why don't they get off their backsides and do something? Why don't they help when there is need for help? Why don't they support when there's need for support? Why don't they give themselves to something rather than just lying around? There is no reward for them, and their hearts and their lives are unsatisfied. And then finally, the fifth opposites is that those who work hard build, and those that are lazy destroy. Let me look at the destroy first. We look at the sluggard, and then we'll look at the hard-working wife, actually. Proverbs 18 says, one who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. Laziness is not just anti-production, it destroys society. So you think, if you decide, I can't be bothered about something, you're actually being productive in the opposite sense. It's not that you're not doing anything. What you're actually doing is you're destroying things. By not doing something, you are doing something. Does that make sense? By your inactivity, things are happening. So the sluggard actually is causing an effect. He is causing something to take place. And what he's doing is he's breaking society down. You live in a house with a lazy person who doesn't do anything. Actually, looking at a few of you, you probably, if you've got teenagers, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, you live in that house. And the things that need to be done around the house, and if you have a lazy person within that house, what is it like? It's frustrating. It's annoying. It causes disunity. It causes arguments. You know, you're going up to the person and say, will you do the washing up? Will you lay the table? And you're saying it time and time and time again, and you're going on and on and on, and the person doesn't do anything. Does that produce anything? Yes, it does. It destroys relationship, doesn't it? It destroys unity. It destroys love. It destroys harmony. It destroys peace. It destroys a foundation of society. So when we decide to be lazy, we are actually deciding to destroy things. When we decide to be lazy in our faith, we can't be bothered to read our Bible today. We can't be bothered to pray. We can't be bothered to spend time with other Christians so that we might grow. When we fall into that category, we begin to destroy things. It's not that we're just stepping out for a while. We're actually damaging ourselves and others in our laziness. And that is absolutely key that you understand. That's why I'm kind of labouring this point. Because out of all that I've said, we've got to understand as people that when we decide to be the sluggard, we decide to destroy things, to break things down, to hurt, to damage, to cause pain. Because we're not helping. Because we're not coming alongside. And we're causing a tension within the team or in the situation that we find ourselves. But on the positive side, hard work, diligence, thought, carefulness, commitment, all those things build. You have the sluggard on one side that destroys, but on the other side, you have a builder. Turn with me, if you've got your Bible, to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a wonderful picture of a wonderful woman. It's one of those descriptions of a woman. I tell you, if I could find this woman, I'd marry her 1,000 times. I found one that was close and I married her once. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Did I get myself out of that one? I'm not sure. Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 31. I won't read it all, but read it. Men and women. Is a lovely, lovely example of the wife of noble character. And this wife of noble character is hardworking. She is hardworking from beginning of the morning to late at night. She gives herself to hard work, but also to her family, to her husband, to her employees, and she cares for the poor. She works hard. Let me read some of the verses. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She cares for her family. Verse 15, she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Verse 27 to 28, she watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arises and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Do you remember the reward that I was talking about? When you work hard, people go, they're great. God bless them. Thank you for what you're doing. She looks after her employees. We covered that as she provides portions for her servant girl. But here, verse 20, we kind of overlap into next week. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And here's the point. When we work hard, we produce things that are good. When we give ourselves to the task, whatever it may be, that is set before us, and we do that well, we do it to the very best of our ability, it flows out with blessing upon others. Upon those that are close to us, our friends and our family, our team around us, if it's in a work situation, but also on the stranger, particularly the one that is poor. Because when we give of ourselves and we work hard and we're rewarded, whatever it is that we reward with, particularly if we have financial and material blessing, we find ourselves in a place of surplus. And when we find ourselves in a place of surplus, we don't go, wow, good, look what I've done for myself, and gather it up into barns, hence the parable of the rich fool. We say, God has blessed me with surplus so that I might bless those who have very little. I want you to understand that someone who's poor isn't necessarily lazy, although you may become poor because you're lazy, and that's true, doesn't mean that you're lazy because you're poor. Some people are poor because they find themselves in that situation because of external reasons. But the person who works hard receives more so that they can give more to those around them. And by doing that, they build society. They build relationship. They build life. And it becomes stronger and better for those around them as well as them. So let me encourage you. Again, please, none of you were particularly in mind when writing this and putting it together. And actually, I found it quite difficult to put this together because actually it's one of those things that you don't often hear preached about. But I've become more and more convinced as I kind of went through the week trying to put this together and grappling with it myself, is actually there is a message from God. God is a hard-working God. God does not sit back and say, I don't care. God is a caring God. He gives himself completely and utterly. He does that through the story of Christmas and Easter, as we know. If God is such a God, those who follow him should be such people, shouldn't they? Not to work hard just for the sake of saying, look, I've done 60 hours this week, aren't I great? No, it's not about that. It's about working hard or working to our very best, that we might produce the very best in our lives so that God might be glorified. and other people may be blessed because of our hard work. May each and every one of us, whatever our circumstances, be in the home, be in the workplace, be in it at college, be it studying, be it in our faith, work hard for the glory of Jesus. Amen.